You're back in session.
Well, you have to formally vote on the tape.
On tape, okay.
So you're coming.
So we're voting to come out of executive session. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
We did that in executive session.
It has to be recorded.
We have to do it on the tape.
It has to be recorded.
How can you vote in executive session to come out of executive session?
If we're technically, and we're still in executive session.
Doesn't make any sense.
But anyway.
All in favor.
We're out of executive session at any rate.
Okay.
Welcome, Jared.
How are you, ma'am? Thank you.
Nice to see you. So, well, you know who I am, so.
And we know each other.
Yeah.
I'm Kathy Nolan. I'm the legislator for West of Woodstock. Yes.
Tracy Barfield, we've met. I represent Garden Mission.
Joe Maloney, Sobeys.
How are you?
Very good.
Thanks for having me.
So welcome, Jerry. So just wanted to give us a little, like, originally, we had invited Jared because they had a budget amendment that involved the water.
Yes.
And so we just wanted to get an overview on it, even though we knew we were going to vote. But they decided to not pursue that amendment. But we just thought it would be a good idea to make the committee aware of what they're doing and maybe any other things that Cornell might be environmentally involved in that we
would. Thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity. I present to the Programs Committee on occasion, and glad to meet you all. Just going to pass around. This is a brief that, similar to what we presented to the Programs Committee earlier in the year, pass that on, just talks about what our vision was for water. So just some background. I'm new. I came on in January. Took over for a long-term executive director at an extension. One of the reasons the board brought me on was because I have a water background and have overseen a lot of water programs. And we do a lot of water work. So this brief talks about just the sort of the issue as we see it in Ulster County with, in terms of water, how it's crucial, how it's under threat, talks a little bit about our water team, sort of what we think we bring to the table and what we're contributing in the county already, and then just some ideas for how we can contribute more. So long story short, we are the implementing partners on the Ashokan Watershed Stream Management Program, which is the Ashokan provides 25% of the water for New York City. We've been engaged with them for many years. It started with farm planning and went to whole community planning and then watershed planning. So we do a lot of outreach and education to municipal officials and school children and stakeholders in the watershed. It is, I think, the premier stream management program on the planet. Not an exaggeration. It's phenomenal. Now, not everybody can spend $10 million on a watershed, so how do we make that lighter and leaner for everywhere else is one of the things that I'm working on. And you know, Ulster County is very active. There's a lot of rivers and streams. There's a lot of groups. Gosh, the environmental movement started not far from here. So we want to build on that, and we've been getting a lot of requests over the last year to work on different watersheds. So my idea was that we would ask for a larger appropriation, and I would hire an educator to sort of bring that person on. We're going to search for grants and things otherwise. But I think as I sort of learn this space, there's a lot of opportunity existing with the Department of Environment. And one of the things we're talking about with them is Amanda Lavelle's idea is that how do we sort of unify the different water approaches that are going on in the county? Every river, every water body has some community group working on it. How do we support all of those and make it uniform and make it, you know, larger than personalities? And what can we bring to the table on that? So the idea was that that we would revive what's called the Water Quality Coordination Committee, which other counties have, which used to exist in this county. We're very lucky because we have a Department of Environment, and so I've been talking to Amanda about how we can support that. And I believe she got the legislature to approve.
We designated that department, the Water Quality Coordinator, or something. I forgot the exact terminology, but something like that. So.
Yeah.
Is that similar to how other counties do it? Do they go through a department?
Not everybody has a department.
Yeah. How do the other counties do it?
That's one of the things we're going to explore in this. And how much can we, how far can we take it? She's thinking that this would be the forum to actually unify all these different approaches, and she wants to engage with us on how to, on coordinating that, hosting it, the ideas.
So, because you work with soil and water as well in the watershed, so how does that interface work in terms of, I guess that's the point of not duplicating mm-hmm. services and making sure that everybody's, there's enough to go around for sure. I mean, it's
yeah.
Us, so.
Yeah, and so what, it's very early stages. We're just looking at how we would put this together with a couple of meetings and going into the first 6 months of 2019. And the idea would be that we'd start with sort of us, Department of Environment, Soil and Water, Department of Health, because it's water quality, and working with county, and sort of expand from there. The
yeah.
sort of the next larger group would be the other nonprofits and advocacy groups, and then the community groups, and eventually, you know, this would could be the place for all of us to come together and have that forum for collaboration.
Mava?
Yeah, so this was exactly my question. When I heard that this amendment was being proposed, I was at Ways and Means when Dave Donaldson was speaking to it. And I felt really confused about, I knew about the work with the Ashokan and the tributaries that were draining into it and out of it. What I didn't understand was how all the different efforts, what Riverkeeper is doing, you know, what, how are they being coordinated? And so that was one of the main reasons that we asked you to come and speak with us. But the other thing I just want to point out is there's the Hudson River Watershed Alliance, and I just want to be sure that's on your radar as you're bringing this, what's it called again, the coordinating
committee? Water Quality Coordinating Committee.
Okay. As that is being revitalized, it would be important to be in communication with the Watershed Alliance, which Clearwater, Riverkeeper, and some other organizations incubated probably 16 years ago.
Yeah.
Because prior to that, people ran into each other at conferences and meetings, but it was very random, and there was no way to network and share information and share research and, you know, what's worked and what. And so they have roundtables and conferences, but they are a really good, you know, vehicle, and you know, they can put you in touch with people, if you're not already, that are working on watershed in Ulster County. And of course, my tributary is the Roundout. So I just want to be sure that somehow down the road, the Roundout gets included. There is now, there used to be a Roundout Creek Watershed Council that has morphed into a Roundout Creek Watershed Alliance that Riverkeeper is supporting very actively. They're convening meetings, they're making sure that there's, you know, web activity and shared documents, and that group is moving along beautifully. One of the things they're planning to do is publish a document, something like what I believe the Ashokan did, that is almost like an atlas. And so I just want to kind of share with you what I know about that, so that the coordination is key. And then the other thing I wanted clarity on is there's a lot of things that come under the rubric of water monitoring or water quality. You know, there's benthic macroinvertebrates, there's Enterococcus. Can you tell me with very quickly, with the work that you are doing with the Ashokan, what kind of monitoring, so that, you know, we can understand that as well?
We don't do, DEP does most of the monitoring.
Oh,
so
okay.
In terms of our stream management, we're doing sort of natural channel design.
Oh, interesting.
We do monitor sediment,
oh, okay.
But really they engage the USGS and Soil and Water and other partners on a lot of that. So I think that term for the Water Quality Committee is going to be something we need to sort of get around, because it's really it, more water resources or watershed resources.
Okay.
So, but I don't know if because this whatever the state law is that provides funds or potential funds for this, if we're tied to that or not.
Okay.
That may be part of it. There's also possibility of confusion when you use the term watershed here,
yeah,
that it there's such a big presence of the New York City watershed, and what this group, I think, it partly needs to do focus on the outside the in large part needs to do focus on the outside the water New York City watersheds.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've asked Mary McNamara to give her thoughts to coming up with a term for this, because it hinders us that we don't have a good word to capture what is the Roundout and the Sawkill and Lower Sopus. And I think that that's the area that's not getting the attention. There's actually three distinct watersheds in my district, which is the towns of Shenandoah and Olive, Hardinburg, and Denning. So I meet regularly with the Ashokan Watershed Stream Management. I've also met with Karen Router of the Neversink Roundout Watershed, mm-hmm, which is Denning. I have not met with the Delaware County watershed people, who do not have exactly this format for my constituents in Hardinburg, just because it's on the other side of that mountain and I haven't gotten there yet. But to take the insights and the experience that we have from these watershed management groups, which really is phenomenal,
yeah,
and bring it to the rest of Ulster County, I think is really overdue and really important.
Yeah.
Joe?
Did you say we had something like this before? Or no, this would be the first time.
I believe this committee was active many years ago. That's what Amanda had mentioned, but
mm-hmm,
we're just now scoping, so I think we'll know a whole bunch more.
And other counties have it.
Other counties have it, and there's other examples out there. And I think we're going to look at the state level to find out where it's working, what are good models.
Because if they're doing it now, I think you got to look to see what they're doing and how they're doing it and what's successful about it. And I mean, before we create, I'd like to be able to really pick your brain and have specific answers to how certain counties are doing it and what they're doing and how different it is from what we're planning to do, and then why are we being different, you know.
Tracy?
Has the Department of the Environment, and it may predate your time at Cornell, but has the Department of the Environment, since you've been there, held any, because we designated them the head of water quality management in Ulster County, the head agency, have they held any meetings bringing all these different groups together?
No, in fact, what I understand is Amanda's come up with a contract to contract us to host the first set of ones going into early next year. So as far as I know, not at all. And I don't know, I can't speak for them entirely, but from what I know of it, no, nothing's happened yet besides talking to some of the people who would be at the first meeting and talking to us about coordinating it.
What does that mean?
Like, they're contracting with you to what end? What does that look like? I mean, I'm just confused. If we designated them the head agency, why wouldn't they just hold the meeting and bring everybody to the table? Why would you need to contract that out?
We run a lot of committees. We have a lot of experience sort of in the Ashokan. We have 5 different stakeholder meetings.
Yeah.
That you're on one of them. So we have that experience. I think that's what Amanda's looking for. We've done it in the Ashokan and outside of that as well.
That seems premature all of a sudden. I hear contracts and we're infancy.
Getting somebody in trouble.
But
this is my recollection as well, is that what we've had is these groups doing this work all on their own, but they have been isolated and not able really to share well with each other. There have been some that have tried to bring together towns, but it's difficult. And so it does seem to me that it would be appropriate to have a group that could help with that networking, with setting up a conference. It's to be explored what it would be, and that contract would have to come to us before it could be implemented.
Mm-hmm.
But it would seem the right direction.
It wouldn't have to come to us before it could be implemented.
No?
Not unless it was, $50,000. If it was $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 or $5,000,
right,
it wouldn't come to us. We would never see it.
But what would be really valuable is keeping in touch with us, because if it doesn't have to come to us, we don't always know about it. And, needless to say, water's dear to my heart. So, and I think it's important for this committee as well as legislative programs. So, just keeping us informed as there is progress. The Environmental Management Council does, serves some of that role, because that is a network of the towns in the various watersheds. But, I think having these two departments, especially since you have a water background, when Legislator Donaldson brought this up, I was kind of thinking, well, wouldn't this really be soil and water? And I don't think of Cornell, of CCE, as having that much of a presence with water. So it's great that, you do. And I just want to let the rest of the committee know that I've been to some of the ag work you're doing around resilience and around, addressing climate change, the role of agriculture in this region to not just mitigate but sequester carbon back in the soil is really important. I want to commend Cornell for the work that you're doing. I missed the resilience one, but I'll catch up as soon as
we'll
I can.
We got lots planned.
Okay. Tracy?
Yeah, and I sit on the board of soil and water because by definition there need to be two legislators on that board. Hopefully someone will want to take over for me in January. Because I've been doing it for a while. But so I hear about a lot of the work that Cornell is doing in partnership with soil and water in our monthly meetings. But I really, and it's something I'll reach out to Amanda about too, I really had hoped when we designated the Department of the Environment, the agency with the oversight, I hope that there would be, and maybe there isn't this confusion, but man, I suffer from some of that too, where I think, I hear about all the good ag work you're doing, but soil and water, I hear about ag work that they're doing, and which is not the same ag work, and then where there's overlap in the stream management work that you do, sometimes together, sometimes separately, sometimes it's just, I think we would benefit from having that kind of sit down with an overview, because we could maximize everyone's efforts if we all sat in one place. And I'm saying we, but I really mean if you all sat in one place and talked about that and came up, because I know there are opportunities for more funding and for so much more good work.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I'd like to increase our work with Soil and Water. Certainly, they've been such great partners. I feel like we're hand in hand on the Ashokan.
Yeah.
All of our work together. And I believe what I understood this to be is that she wants to engage with us to really not take over this process, but to facilitate the meetings and, get the partners there and more.
Right.
More of the running around and taking the minutes and reporting and that sort of it, not taking
right.
over the process.
Right, just definitely
a tight administrative.
More or less.
I don't know, we'll see. We can do
I want to say coordinating, but not in any sort of decision making role.
Hosting, maybe. Hosting.
Yeah, facilitating and hosting is what I understand it to be. We, of course, bring our whatever expertise we can bring that we know about water to it as well. And my vision here is that we make, Ulster County is such a leader for climate smart. Can we do the same thing and make this silver certified water smart county? That that doesn't exist yet, but that's what I'd like to help us do.
Is there a certifying organization and levels?
No.
Mm-hmm. We're going to create them?
Maybe.
Wow.
Set the bar.
Yeah. Well, we have to.
Yeah.
If there were a certifying organization, I think it might be the Center for Watershed Protection. They're a national watershed organization that is superb. I wish I had enough time to go to their conferences and so forth. But, you know, to set some of those standards.
I have some materials if you want some info on sort of some of the materials we put out in partnership. I think Soil and Water is on here, Stream Guide, for example. Yeah. The Sophus Creek News, which comes out like twice a year, is one of the newsletters we put out with our partners. We don't have copies for everyone. I'll pass around.
I get it.
Did you get one? Would you like one?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
And our newsletter, which always has watership information in it, I believe we send it to all the legislators.
Mm-hmm.
So,
thanks.
I get it. No, it's
okay. Yeah, I have access to those. Easy. We're very
exciting. If we want to do stuff outside of water, let us know how we can support the other work.
Yeah.
Climate change is a big thing that crosses all of our programs.
We were talking about recycling out there, too, when
mm-hmm.
you first got here.
Yep, whatever happens with recycling, we're happy to, you know, promote outreach and education. That's where we do it. So when you need that, let us know.
Are any of the 4-H programs recycling?
Oh, I think, well, they do a lot of...
They do a lot, yeah.
I don't know if they have any specific recycling
either.
Programs. We can find out.
Maybe they could.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Or also, just so you know, we have a group that's formed that the agency hosts, but it's a multiple stakeholder group that's going to be addressing food reuse, and I think Melinda's aware of that on the chain of emails and reports, but food reuse and scaling up food waste composting.
Yeah.
And that's going very, very well, not good so far.
Methane is 4 times worse.
That's a whole conversation I'd like to have about methane composting, anaerobic, aerobic, and
so
all
do you have a couple
that.
Years you can sit with us?
I worked in India where they do a lot of methane, on-farm methane recycling.
Really?
They capture it.
Yeah, and they're using, they're cooking and lighting. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Really interesting. And people are, you know, farmers are doing it on their own. It's not municipal size.
All right. Cover crops next.
Well, thank you so much for taking time to discover
this. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. Let me know. I'm happy to come back anytime.
Yeah, great.
If you want me to put together a presentation on the Shokan work, we can sit here with Soil and Water and DEP and
I mentioned that to this committee when I saw, a broader presentation from in Soil and Water. It's just so impressive. It would be great for all legislators to really know what's going on. So I think that would be really a good thing to talk about further.
Thank you. So we'll do a little quick housekeeping and have a motion to approve November 11th meeting.
Minutes?
November
8th. Yeah.
November 8th, right? The 8th, right? Yeah. Can I say it with
those?
Sorry.
What's like they're wearing variations of the same color.
Did somebody move it? Tracy moved it.
Oh,
we have a second.
The light makes us look green. I think it's actually gray.
I think it's gray. Yeah.
Do we have a second?
Yeah.
And then I have the black with the green, so
you've lost control. I know.
No,
do we have a second?
Second.
We have a color coordinated
okay.
second.
Do we have any discussion? Excuse me. Do we have any discussion? All in favor on the minutes? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carried. Okay. I'm losing control here. Getting a lot done tonight, though, guys. Okay, let's
Thank
see.
You.
I don't know if you noticed, Manna. You have the same here yet. I don't think you have them on tonight, but
yes,
I know you've got
I don't have them on
okay,
tonight.
Okay, so we're on Resolution 400, adopting proposed local law number 20 of 2018, a local law requiring restaurants and fast food service establishments provide plastic beverage straws solely upon request. A motion?
I'll make it.
I'll make it.
Second?
Real quick.
And I brought your letter. Okay. So I'm going to start with, here is my letter, which is a rough draft that I said that I was going to write up and see what other people would like to add or take away. Because I still kind of feel like this partnering will have a greater impact than trying to legislate people making changes.
So this is an attempt to not go along with, this is rather than.
Perhaps, or a beforehand.
Yeah.
I would like to...
No, I understand.
What I would like to do is try to take a different approach with it and get the same result. And then if we saw that it wasn't being productive, then reconsider. Tracy?
Well, I mean, I'm just seeing it now, and I definitely would like to, you know, look at it closely.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea of this, no matter which way we go. I like the idea of reaching out in partnership and asking. I mean, some of the work probably has been done through Climate Smart in reaching out to businesses and recognizing businesses that have already made positive changes. And I like that you're asking for those businesses to come forward so we can recognize them and hopefully model after them. And I also I like the suggestion of asking for ways we can do more, but I don't think a letter alone is ever going to achieve the same level of compliance that legislation would. And again, with this proposed legislation, which we can speak to where it's at right now, but with the proposed plastic straw legislation, to me it is a baby step, but at the same time I recognize the feeling of concern about timing and concern about piling on, and I certainly am grateful for everyone's partnership for the success we've achieved thus far. So I want to be conscientious of timing, and I don't think the two things are mutually exclusive is basically what I'm saying. I know I'm going to have a bunch of specifics in terms of suggestions for the.
And this letter is very rough. From
for the letter writer, but. Because I think reaching out to businesses in a kind of partnership with something with maybe a more
well, I would like to do it more
great.
Than just a letter.
Yeah,
I was thinking that perhaps some of the people that came and interviewed for the oversight committee could be utilized in doing more of a one-on-one kind of outreach kind of thing. To include, and I just joined the Chamber of Commerce. Thank you, Mana. I went with her, so I wound up finally making
chamber.
It. Yes.
Or
do you belong to it?
For years, and I've yet to be to a meeting.
So I was there. But
I'm not a chamber guy.
I realized when I was there that actually is a really good, they have an email thing, so we wouldn't necessarily have to spend money on a mailing. We would have access to, obviously not everybody belongs to the chamber because I just joined, but it would be one way to capture addresses and emails or whatever. So that was one of my thoughts.
Get the other chambers to do it as well.
Right. But I thought that would be a good base.
So. I just have a couple suggestions on the letter.
Mm-hmm.
One is, I think, to be a little more specific about what we're thinking, but to tie it to the fact that it is a climate solution, and they can be recognized if they're reducing or eliminating single-use plastic. They can be recognized as a green business leader. And also to possibly cite some good examples, and we have to figure out how to do this because we're, you know, a legislative body, but for example, Mountain Brow House and The Roost and in Saugerties, the place we were meeting,
Love Bites. Yeah, they said they had a sign.
A little diversity and saying that many restaurants and food service businesses are already doing this on a voluntary basis. But before we move forward, you know, if we're going to move forward with legislation, we wanted to get your input or something, you know, something like that. And I can send some language that you might want to include.
And I think some of them, and I also think some places are already doing some other things that we don't even, haven't thought about, that we could include the information with. And again, going back to like a decal or something, recognizing them also would be, I know. We just have to do it.
Yes.
We should talk to Craig.
I think that this strategy of reaching out from our committee to local businesses is something that we should be definitely utilizing, and no matter what direction
anyway,
we go with
right.
future regulatory legislation, I think we should do more that way. I will say that just the last couple of hours here, the consensus throughout the night was education's not enough. We really do need to talk about regulation. And this is about, the with regards to Tracy and I's legislation, it's about as unregulatory as regulation can be. So I still, while I appreciate some of the points that have been made over the last couple of months about its proximity to plastic bags and all those other things, you know, John Schoonmaker pointed out that he just read a an article that said we're at 91% of plastics still making it into the solid waste stream and not being recycled. Right here in Ulster County, I'd say comparing the things that were being recycled just a couple of years ago or just a couple of months ago, we in 2018, with all the facts we have and so many people in the community, the vast majority of which are on board, we are moving backwards. So the idea that we're going to be able to make any real strides with just outreach and education is something that I don't believe is a fact, or I just don't believe that's possible. So I want to incorporate this, and it's something I've talked about with you guys, Mary and Manna, the working on an app going into next year that really gives people the ability to check on restaurants. You talk about a way to incentivize local businesses to getting on board and doing these things, enabling them to be recognized. And for so many green-minded people out there, consumers that really care and will make a choice on something like that, I mean, you're actually going to be incentivizing these businesses, not just morally, but from a real financial standpoint. So I think it all needs to be incorporated. But we're talking about this piece of legislation right now, and I just still feel really committed to putting it out there, and there's really only a couple of things that I understand that we can really regulate as far as plastics go, and this is one of them. It's not like this is going to keep happening. We can talk about silverware at some point. There's not a lot else we can do, and we haven't, and they're all tools. We haven't, and it's just another tool, and we haven't pulled that tool out of the toolbox yet, and I'm mentioned to, but that's where I'm at on it. But I appreciate this being a part of that, but not as the alternative to it.
Oh, Tracy?
Yeah, I mean, I agree in terms of, and I agree with Manna. I think that some language with more specific asks and suggestions will be helpful, and I'll definitely work to give input on the letter as well. As far as the resolution itself, because of an illness in my family and the budget, etc., I didn't get to make the changes that we talked about at the last committee meeting, so I'm going to propose that we hold it for another month anyway, and then I'll come back with that after getting all that stuff to Joe, and so that we can talk about it in in more specifics. You know, I don't know, I'm trying to remember if we talked about this at the last meeting, but, you know, I don't know if everyone was aware that in late October, the EU moved to ban all single-use plastics, all told, which includes all single-use plastic. I mean, it's sweeping. It's everything. It's straws. It's bags. It's cutlery. It's
where is this?
Bottles. The European Union.
Oh.
And in a link, when someone alerted me to that, I followed on another link, and I realized some of the exciting work that was happening. I want to say it was Denmark and Norway. And I'm going to get the two confused. One of them voted to, as soon as 2020, allow no new fossil fuel vehicles to be sold in the country. And the other voted, I want to say by 2023, to have no fossil fuel vehicles allowed to be sold, period, which would mean you would not be able to sell your existing fossil fuel vehicle to anyone else. So their take, and what that means, what the articles that I read said that means, is that those countries now are going to be partnering with manufacturing companies in Japan and the United States, with vehicle manufacturing companies, because they're going to have to ramp up to meet that definitive demand. So, you know, I only say all this because I think some of what we heard tonight is right, in that we, you know, we're really quickly approaching a tipping point. And to me, this one piece of legislation, I think we all agree ideologically, but this one piece of legislation, which we're gonna change so that it is, you have to, upon request, you know, which takes off some of the burden of having to ask, which I think was a mistake. But it's of all the things we've asked the businesses to do, it's the smallest, because it's in some ways, it in itself is passive. But you know, I don't want to pile on to the public, but I also want to make my time here matter, and so I want to work to try to convince you all and the rest of the legislature that we can do this. And one thing that I'm open to that I haven't spoken to Joe about is I am open to the timing. You know, I am open to thinking through, okay, plastic bags is going to go in effect in July and be enforced in January. So what's the time that everyone would be comfortable with? Is it sooner? Is it much later? Like, where does it, you know, if the timing is something that we need to think through, I'm open to having that conversation for sure.
Joe?
Me too, totally. As far as the rollout or what the when it starts, whatever works for everybody.
And we can be creative.
The one more thing I'd like to point out is, and Dave Donaldson always did a good job of when he spoke about plastic bags, that this is a change of behavior, and you don't change behavior painlessly. So the idea that, you know, there are going to be cons, as far as there's going to be blowback. There are going to be people that aren't pleased with it. On the other side of that, there will be many people that are overjoyed about it. And public comment, I think, will bear that out again and again. But it is. It's when you're changing behavior, it's not, you're never going to do it without some growing pains and learning pains and pains.
Manna?
Yeah, I had a couple suggestions that I think might serve as a bridge. I mentioned, you know, some more specific language. I think we might want to you know, let people know what we're considering and ask for their input. One way to do that might be in the letter to have, I've been using SurveyMonkey a lot, to have a survey and have them say, what are you already doing? What good ideas? Give them some easy answers and then a place mm-hmm. to write their own thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing we have to figure out is how this is going to get out. you know, the operational.
Can you answer that through an email? Or is that, because I've seen that, but I've seen something on Facebook.
No, it's an email. Okay. I mean, it's on, isn't it? It's online. SurveyMonkey's online.
Yeah.
Through an email.
Click on a link.
Oh, it's, yeah, you just click on it, and if they're well designed, I just did one that about 60 people responded to, and it had 14 questions, and it said you could do it in 8 minutes. I did it in 3 minutes.
And we could do that through the...
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways you can do it. Email, you can put it as a post on Facebook.
Is already on the website because it's real legislation, and when it's amended, that so you can say if you'd like to see a copy of what it is we're considering. Mm-hmm. I think this is a different approach. I absolutely agree that we have to do something formal, but I think that this is a kind of an interesting social experiment in terms of trying to get people's comments and hear them before, here it is, here's public comment, and, you know, we'll either take it or leave it. So, you know, those are...
Because usually by the time we have public comment, we've already decided.
Yeah. And
you
it's
usually way down the line before anybody comes, so...
So maybe making them aware, getting their input. Now, that's risky in the sense that people who are frustrated about it.
That's my biggest problem. Sometimes I would sit next to Mary for a while there, and we would tally together. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm a legislator. Before about a year ago, I didn't pay much attention to public comment or anything else. The vast majority, the idea that we're going to get, you're going to get a pulse on where the people are really at by people out in your community that you're talking to, more than putting something out there that is going to be used by people that feel strongly on either side to try to force something, to force their opinion one way or another. But I think that, I've talked to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in Saugerties. I'm sure you have talked
and,
to hundreds
and utilizing of people. The recycling oversight volunteers, either the ones who are on the committee or the ones, you know, that aren't actually,
because I think the ones that we might not, you know, have room for because we're limited, had an interest in doing something that made a difference.
Yeah.
So I think that we could put it, you know, approach them and even put it out there to other people.
The really nice thing about a survey, and I think this letter too, but the survey particularly can give us some data, because one of my hesitations about this legislation is I see change already happening, and it's because not offering straws saves the restaurant money,
mm-hmm.
and so there's an economic driver that is already having an impact, and people do get tight about having regulations, so if we can spare them a regulation and still have the desired behavior change, that would be good. There's a lot of nice studies with young people that taking a survey, if the survey is crafted well, can change their beliefs, which often is associated with behavior change. And it's basically that if you list, for example, all the things that restaurants in or stores in Ulster County are already doing, people will often lie and say they're doing it,
mm-hmm.
Even if they're not, but they will also do it then, because now they've said they do it. And so you with young people, you can get them by taking a survey to change their behavior sometimes better than if you do some other kinds of intervention.
Now, is the survey anonymous?
Yeah, you can make
it
anonymous, or you can...
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying it would be helpful if it wasn't as far as businesses went.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, usually you have people fill out their contact information first, and usually that's not optional. And then the questions, there may be one or two that if somebody's taking the survey, you feel like they have to answer. But usually most of the questions, some of them are multiple choice, some of them are little text boxes or comments. You know what I'll do is I'll send around the survey that I just sent. So you can, this was for...
We do our own survey amongst ourselves.
Because if it wasn't anonymous, that would give us a base of information and how to approach somebody.
Yeah.
What they're already doing or what
they're...
I'm sure
we could give it the option to be anonymous, right? Because some people might not want it.
And this survey's going to be where?
We got to figure that out.
Well, the Survey Monkey is up in the cloud.
So we'd try to send it
but
to...
But it has a link
on
and
the
county
website?
It could be.
It could be on the county
website.
But you can email it out.
Like going through the chamber.
We
can put it
on
Facebook posts. I've done them.
And my one question.
We're just not
going to
reach all that many people.
If we have.
Well, but we could.
I know I like the idea of it to get some information. But as far as using that as a tool to stop plastics from.
Does the county have the business? Does the county have emails for the businesses that are registered?
Even if they don't, the Department of Health will have, because they inspect all, not for every single category, but they inspect all restaurants. So they'll at least have a mailing address. They probably do have email. And with SurveyMonkey, very inexpensively, you can buy a list.
I mean,
so you can say all
restaurants. But if you didn't, that's where we would take our have our people to make a personal contact.
Yeah.
What's that?
So let's say your business, you answer the survey and you don't. Well, the people we get to volunteer would then come and visit you in a nice way, you know, to say,
"This is all,
I'm from the government. I'm here to help you."
You
know what I mean?
Not
like you did not fill out your
email.
You did not fill out.
Regulated. Now we're just telling you
face to face. It's a very,
Brian?
It's a very.
I think we started with a letter, and now we're doing surveys and showing up.
Brian?
One thing I would say about the letter, I love Manna's idea of trying to create a partnership with agents, companies or people, individuals, stores, restaurants, and making them part of it, incentivizing them to join the Green Business Challenge and get certified. That's that could be a feather in anyone's cap. And I think if you incentivize people like that, I think it's a... it's one way of bringing them on the team, so to speak. I like that idea a lot.
I want to add one more suggestion.
And we are looking to table. I'm sorry, but we're looking to table this, right?
Postpone it.
Because we're
not ready with
right.
Changes.
So
testimonials. You know, instead of citing, that would not be, you know, so appropriate. It might be okay, but. If we could get a testimonial from a couple, you know, the three restaurants we mentioned, especially since they're geographically diverse, they're rather typical of the, you know, this will affect chains a lot differently than it'll affect local businesses. But, you know, and I don't know if there are any diners, if we could get a diner who's, some testimonials, just a paragraph. It was easy. My customers love it. That kind of thing.
No, they made some jokes.
I think that this is another example of why we really need a public relations person in the legislative clerk's office. Because I'm imagining, as you're saying that, Manna, you know, like when you see Ulster Alive or whatever, you know, we ski in Ulster, we do this in Ulster, we play golf in Ulster. I'm also picturing. You know, a one page that's a nice production with a picture of one of our businesses with that testimonial saying it was really easy, and you know, that paragraph, and as a portion of the outreach of the legislature in doing its due diligence as it relates to public policy, and not necessarily saying we asked 2,000 businesses and 1,500 said yes, so we went ahead. But also saying, just as a way of even transmitting what we're talking about, what we're doing, what change we want to see. We're going green in Ulster. This is the next thing that we're talking about. And here are these three businesses to tell you it's not going to be so bad. And so I love all of that conversation.
Yeah.
I also respectfully think that we can, you know, that we, this legislation, once it's changed, I'm hoping is something that we can find some way to agree on the timing, and maybe that way, maybe it's not just the timing of when it takes effect. Maybe there's a rollout where it's optional first, and then it takes effect, and that helps that bridge that gap. I don't know, but I think of all the things we've moved, that this, in some ways, is the easiest lift. The only thing that I'm hearing that makes it a little harder is that these other things have come before, because it's essentially an optional thing. And to your point, Kathy, for businesses, we just have to think through how to make it as easy as possible, because they're going to be spending less money on straws, and so they don't have to give them anymore. In fact, they can't give them unless someone asks, and it's not their fault. So we just have to find a way to, I think, bridge that gap. But we'll come back next month with
the
changes.
So we'll postpone it.
In the meantime, we'll work on the letter, the outreach letter, and whatever else we want to do, you know.
Well, just one quick thing in closing, to kind of explain where my train of thought, where I'm coming from ultimately, is here we are on the county level, but we're all frustrated. Man, I guarantee you're frustrated with the national level and even Albany on some of these things, because we're really waiting on them. But you know what? Legislators and executives on higher levels than this sit around and have these same conversations, and obviously they're coming up with a lot of reasons not to do the things that we want them to do, and we're frustrated. And I think if we're really real about doing something about the environment, greenhouse gases, the amount of plastic that we're using and throwing away, and what we're doing to our waterways and our air quality, I think we need to be a little more aggressive.
Well, this relates to a conversation I had with Cameron, and said what Allison brought up. Cameron asked me if we banned styrofoam in Ulster County, could we and now we can't recycle clamshells, can we ban clamshells in Ulster County? And I thought, wow, if you're starting to talk about really the bulk of what we see at our upper site, maybe we will have an opportunity to use the insights of this oversight committee to, you know, maybe there are some things that we should be asking manufacturers not to bring in. And I'm not sure that it would just be food service. So that's the kind of thinking that I have, and I'm just worried that if we keep doing it one thing after another, it will look like, and maybe that is what we're doing, we're trying to find anything that we can regulate locally so that we can start to make the changes. But some of it could have a real impact on the amount of recycling and waste that we have to deal with, which is urgently a problem for us.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
yeah. Right. Okay, so we're going to postpone this.
And I just have one last request. Would it be okay if I reach out to Mountain Browhouse, Love Bites, and The Roost and ask them to send a brief testimonial about their experience, you know, and just like a paragraph?
Yeah. Also, template for us.
But that's still good to have. Yeah.
It's still good to have.
Organizations that
it's still good to have for whatever.
I just, I'm always uncomfortable when government starts putting
are they
local
also
businesses
not
that will benefit from that.
It.
And this is completely organic and completely right. To me, there's a separation. And I don't think local businesses...
But isn't
that
the same?
Doing anything with it yet.
No, I know. Oh, for us. Yes, but as far as putting them onto a website, how do you... I'm sure there's 25 restaurants right now.
But isn't that the same as the app?
Do you want to ask the...
Well, the app would be open to everybody. Every single restaurant.
Okay, and it would just say whether they did or didn't.
Universal.
Okay.
I know, and that's
okay.
What
I was thinking that you were saying.
But as far as putting on, like, having a
the ones that work
person, which I want, but having a legislative website and then putting a picture of a local business, I feel like you cross a line at that. I mean, I really.
But I see what you're saying, because for the app, I thought you were talking about only the ones that were doing green. You're really talking about all of them. But it will say that they do.
No, I would never put anybody and say they're not doing something. But in the way that it's universal, you
I don't mean
anybody could reach out. Not anyone can reach out to us and say, "Hey, I want to be the business that is highlighted as one of the ones." A picture of me saying that I'm doing this on an app. You would have an app that has every single. All somebody has to do as a business would be to reach out, and they would be one of a thousand companies on that app that is very that is separated in a much more way and much more equal opportunity but once you start taking pictures of local businesses and local business owners and putting them on a government website in a positive way, to me you're crossing a line that that is not worth crossing, even if it benefits you.
Could you do it the other way, where once you have the sticker, whatever this branding is for green businesses, let them once they've achieved this, they could put that on their website. So when you go there,
exactly.
You can see
yes.
They're handicapped accessible.
Yes.
They serve vegan meals and
yeah.
They're a green business, something like
yeah.
that. So we should wait for the quotes.
Yeah, we'll get.
I don't mind getting
the
quotes, but
right.
before we put it on a website
and we don't
run an ad with the.
Yeah. But we should just let them know we're not sure what we're doing with it, or you know.
Yeah, I would say initially we're going to be doing some outreach to their.
And you
peers.
Could still use it for your green business.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's probably a good idea to have
for
it.
For the green business, it's not mine.
I know,
Joe,
I know.
but the...
great name, right, for her?
If I reach out, if we reach out to just say that, yeah, it's partly because they're now eligible to be listed for the Green Business Challenge, but that with their permission, we're going to be doing some outreach and we might want to use their quote.
Did you get any feedback from anybody that was at that meeting?
What did you say?
Sawyer Motors is ready to go, and we have to get
you
a volunteer.
Yeah.
And I have somebody in mind. Well, I introduced you to Chris.
Yeah.
And the best thing was that Mark Smith asked for him. We're sort of sliding into the climate change report, but Mark Smith said that they will do anything they can to help and to send him prepackaged information. He'll send it to everybody in the chamber.
Okay.
How they can become a green, how they can participate
oh, great.
In the Green Business Challenge, or if they've already done something, be listed as a green business leader.
While we're at that, do you want to just talk about it since we just did a little bit and.
I think it's so late, and I think that's about it. I honestly would like to just, if I can ask, and you know, no, I don't know how to say this, but I would like to understand why. And Brian, I don't want to put you on the spot, but why a lot of people in the caucus? I thought there was. More support for the Ulster County Green Business Challenge. Do you want to? And if you'd rather not, I really don't want to. I'm just trying to understand.
I would only speak for myself.
Okay.
It had to do with a lot of, again, the argument that was made about the contingency planning. And again, with the with some of the other amendments that were made, particularly, I guess, the. $100,000 for restorative justice.
Yeah.
And I think there was a concern about that, and I think that's primarily
just
where.
Just trying
that, that
be fiscally prudent.
And I'm only speaking for myself.
Okay. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else specifically about Climate Smart, because the Green Business Challenge has been a lot of focus, but when we meet again this month, we're going to really. Kind of do a year in review and setting goals for next year.
And you've changed the night of your meeting.
Yes, because it was scheduled to be the 24th
Christmas
of
Eve.
December.
Attendance would have lagged. Just saying.
So we're going to meet on the 17th.
Just for the
right after the Recycling Oversight Committee meeting. So that'll be convenient.
I wanted to throw something out. We're a new old business or new business?
No, we still have another resident.
We just
we have two more.
Oh, okay. I just
figured since we were already on it, we would just
all right, I'll wait till
wrap
the
it up.
They're not controversial.
Okay,
yeah,
so we have resolution 485 confirming the reappointment of member to the Fish and Wildlife Board. Second?
Remind me who it is. I don't have
it.
William Wolko. Who is it?
William Wolko.
Will.
I serve
or Albert William.
Yeah, but
he
goes by
calls
Bill.
By William. Okay.
I serve with Bill on the Stormwater board, and he's passionate about this board.
Right.
He's a farmer, and yeah.
I didn't get the second. I'm sorry.
Second.
Oh, who's that? Okay. Any other discussion?
And
all
he's
in
from
favor?
Highland. Diversity.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Okay. Motion carried. Okay, we have one more. Resolution 522, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 24 of 2018. A local law amending local law number 5 of 2018. A local law promoting the use of reusable bags and regulating the use of plastic carryout bags and recyclable paper bag carryout to be held on Monday, January 7th, 2019 at 6:30 p.m. Do we have a motion?
I'll move.
Second?
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Okay.
So these are the amendments that I talked to everybody about before the passage of the legislation, and I'll just summarize them. One is to exempt those persons on WIC and SNAP, so that's now in there. And the second is to move the implementation date to December. But the effective date is still July, so I'm expecting that they're going to start putting together the team that's going to, you know, be working through all these issues and the educational issues, et cetera. So I reached out to everyone who voted for it in advance, and I'm hoping everyone will support it.
Well, I just want to go on record that I'm so totally against the WIC and the SNAP exemption, but I will be a yes.
I know.
But
thank you.
That's what I wanted to say. And
yeah.
If we could just do a little role playing, how does that work?
How does the WIC and SNAP exemption
how
work?
Is that going to play out in
I'll
a
tell
real
you how, so
life
the,
situation?
So when someone comes, the way I imagine it working, and I don't know which one it's not, but when someone comes to...
Has this been done in other places?
Yes, in every other place.
Then why are you
much.
Imagining how it works?
Because I've never been on WIC and SNAP, and I haven't been to the other places.
Have you,
but
before putting this change in, have you reached out to anybody?
Yeah, it works everywhere. Everybody has the exemption.
Yeah.
We were going to be the exception. What the way it works is that when someone goes to purchase their groceries and they have their WIC and SNAP card, they will not be charged for
the
paper bags.
Yeah.
Nobody
but
would know that.
Upon
just,
using it.
Yeah, just upon using it, they wouldn't be
what
charged.
Is the, what
the 5 cents.
Think about the hundreds, thousands of people ringing, whether it's ShopRite or somewhere else, how they're being educated.
They'll be educated.
They're
by
all
going to
be
yeah.
educated on this.
Yeah, and I tell you, Joe, it's we were... Through much debate, we our non-exemption was an exception. You know that it's largely exempted across the country. In California, it's exempted. They don't have the same programs. They have different names, but it's exempted. Mary was one of the people who was passionate about not having the exemption. I did not want to have the exemption. I'm going to support it.
I'm sure in most
like
of these places no one wanted to have the exemption, but this is politics and people are...
Listen, my sister will pull out her SNAP card, and when she's forgotten her bag, she will be very glad she doesn't have that 5 cents taken out when she doesn't pull out the renewable bag that I've already given her because she didn't remember to bring it. She's been mentally ill since she was 16. And when people take account of the fact that she is in a disadvantaged position, it really helps her. She feels warmed by it. So it's not political with me.
So I did no. What I was saying was we're all voting for something that we don't want to vote for. That's what I meant by being political. I didn't mean to offend you. I was raised on SNAP and WIC. I was on SNAP and WIC.
I was going to
so,
say, too, that, yeah.
You know.
Me also, and that is why I have it. That's a different, I didn't think of that particular situation,
mm-hmm.
but I was in that situation, and I would have found it offensive that you would think that I wasn't capable of doing that. And my second point on that is that I just think that the public has a very bad view of people abusing food stamps and whatever. So we gave a positive spin to this by bring your own bag.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally feel like they kind of saying, except that you don't have to do it, kind of now puts a negative slant on it. Where, you know what I mean? Like where people, they're going to lose the focus on the fact that we're doing something positive. They're going to be upset that some people don't have to pay it. And so I just think it, you know, doesn't necessarily be... Sorry, Brian.
That's quite all right, Mary. What I would say, simply building a little bit on what Kathy said earlier, I am very acquainted in my neighborhood with some people who are independently living, developmentally disabled people. And again, I don't want to necessarily, and who every dollar and every cent really truly matters to these folks. It's astounding to see sometimes right down to the penny. And because a lot of times they don't make, when they work at one of these places for developmentally disabled, the types of work that they do, they don't make the kind of money, and their costs are still what they are. So I think to give them some relief is good. And also what I would say is the larger question is, again, these are resource dollars. The SNAP and WIC programs are resource dollars that are meant for relief, to provide people with relief and help and assistance in obtaining food, and for those, for any, even a portion of that to be diverted into paying for a bag, I don't know that that's necessarily the best use of that money. And I will say also, what I'm counting on, though, still having said all that, is a very intensive outreach for all to still have this population participate and fully invest in it. But I just, again, it's for those factors alone, and not being an outlier. I don't think it's ever necessarily good to be the outlier. I think the idea is success for this. Mm-hmm. And if it's proven successful everywhere else, I don't know that we necessarily want to be the outlier here. I think it's reasonable. I don't think it's going to be a large group, a percentage of the transactions that are occurring in stores. I'm optimistic that a lot of these people will participate happily in this program. So,
Tracy?
Thank you.
Amanda was before me.
Oh, Amanda, sorry.
I just wanted to say that I think an important part of this program, with regard to WIC and SNAP, is the fact that I believe that the county executive, the executive branch, are committed to giving out bags through social services, and that's going to be part of the program. And I believe Amanda's going to be it's going to come out of her shop. I don't know for sure that that's been determined, but I know in talking to her, she's very committed to doing extensive outreach. I happen to agree that I don't think that WIC and SNAP people should be singled out. I think there's a sort of, it makes it seem like people on WIC and SNAP are less likely or less able, and many people are very able. We do want to change everybody's behavior, but I hear what Kathy's saying about some people are not able, and, you know, not as able. So I'm okay with it. I like the other version better, but I think the main thing is to be inclusive by providing free bags, and if it's a large family, multiple bags, so it's not just one, so that
Tracy, then Jack,
okay,
sorry.
I think Brian said it very well. It's sort of my hope and my expectation. I don't think without the WIC and SNAP exemption that the 5 cents could have gone to the bags, but I do hope, and I'm optimistic that there'll be a pretty high rate of compliance because of the robust education that I'm expecting to happen. And I think my understanding is that the education component at least is going to be coming out of the Department of the Environment. I have had a couple initial conversations with Amanda, and I was extremely heartened talking to her. I mean, I really feel like she's a kindred spirit in terms of this piece of legislation ensuring that it happens in the best, most strong way, and that the rollout is successful. And I believe in her investment in it. It's a compromise, but maybe we'll find somewhere down the road that we can remove the exemption. Maybe we'll get to that place. I have no idea. But for right now, I'm grateful that everybody was willing to support
And I'm really excited for the legislation moving forward because I do think it's gonna be great.
Yeah, definitely not a deal breaker. I think Brian made some good points there. I was more disappointed. We allowed restaurants, right?
No.
Restaurants are not allowed.
Restaurants are exempt.
That's what I mean. I would have rather included restaurants, but that's way gone now. With regards to the bags were going to be given out through the county, this under the same argument, let's make sure these are blank. Obviously, you know, I have a separate thing about signage and everything else. This is different. I don't even want the county crest on those bags.
Well, we had the idea about the artwork contest.
Artwork, nothing about the county. These bags are going to be given out in large part to people that are struggling financially. Mm-hmm. Let's not mark that in a way that those
makes
are the free
obvious.
Bags. And I don't think somebody that's getting a free bag necessarily wants the county crest or anything on it. Let's do artwork, let's do blank, and let's do this for the right reasons.
You know, we've had a couple of legal decisions that we've had on this law already, and I think I let you all know about it. The first one was, is the 5 cents taxable? And Clint determined it was not.
No.
Mm-hmm. And the question we just had this week was about the UPIC farms. Are the plastic tote bags they use there? And the first thing, they divided that into two questions. The UPIC farms are not included as a group in the law, they said.
If they're a farm only,
I assume if it's something like you go to Tantillo's and you're out picking strawberries and you're putting them in a bag that they give you, that's okay. But if you go inside and you're buying a thing of strawberries, that they can't give you a bag for that.
Mm-hmm.
But they also said
more nuanced. That first part answer was a little more nuanced because it basically said if there's a store on the premises, it would be included. If it's a UPIC only, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
And most of the UPICs have stores on premises.
Yeah. So I didn't know if you wanted
farmers
to.
Farmers markets were included.
Yeah.
Farmers
yeah.
market, and that's what I. That was my impression, is that they were included. And I don't know if we want to clarify that if we're making amendments.
No.
Okay.
I mean, that's we're going to have to.
And then the second part was if a tote is reusable, if you can carry something so many feet. I don't know where that came from.
That's
in your law?
Sometimes
okay.
And that's,
you get down
I don't remember that.
No, that,
into that nitty gritty and you
but
get
that's
into
in
that
our law.
Okay.
1% that
okay.
I can live with if something,
yeah, that's
rather
totally
than confuse the
okay.
99.
I just, that was the second one when
the
I read. That's why I sent it all to all of you.
Forward, and I think she was right on because we have it defined and it says it has to be either cloth. You have to carry it a certain. Be able
weight.
To carry a certain distance, a certain weight, a certain distance, and it has to either be cloth or, if it's plastic, for a minimum of 4 mL. And so if it's plastic and it's a minimum and it's 4.5 mL, then it would be exempt.
Yeah.
Would be considered reasonable.
So I'll keep sending you when we get legal questions. I'll keep
any
forwarding
other discussion.
Them.
No. So I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion carried. Here we go. Any new business?
Yeah, I just want to kind of remind everybody that we have memorializing resolutions, and here we are in the Energy and Environment Committee. I didn't know if anybody had ever thought about any. You know, something that's long been, since I was a kid, the 5 cent deposit, I thought that might be something interesting to send off to the governor. Maybe a reminder, it's just not something that's talked about anymore. I know it's come up. I think there's $1 billion of money that hasn't been claimed, and that is in large part there because nobody gives a damn about a nickel. And when we talk about a way to stop cans and plastic from being thrown away, I mean, I know a lot of them are being recycled, and that's because people don't care about it either, and that's a large part of that $1 billion that's sitting there that the state is trying to figure out a way to get their hands on. What about sending off a memorializing resolution and maybe reaching out to other counties if we had 15, 20, 25 counties that all signed on to, hey, governor, let's, you know, restart that. That was something when
what
I was...
restart, raise them, raise and make it higher?
Yeah, or restart the conversation. It was something,
10, 15 years ago. People constantly mention that.
To increase to a dime or something?
A dime, 25 cents.
It's a dime in some states.
Yeah, it also, look, besides the fact that it's going to get more deposits brought back, that 10, 15, 20, 25 cents is also going to become a real deterrent and a real force behind reusable containers. When you start that, there's a place opening in Woodstock that sounds like a wonder. I gotta stop. I gotta get over. I haven't been to Woodstock, or I'd stop in there. The next time I get over there, I'm stopping it.
From there.
And but the idea that we have, I mean, if we're ever gonna get to reusable containers, and I'm ever gonna stop taking pictures every time I go through Dunkin' Donuts of the overflowing garbage can, of all recyclables, or what should be recyclable, was recyclable.
I know,
because
I don't know that.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, to start that conversation again would be an interesting, to me, memorializing resolution, even though I always thought they're supposed to be regional, and this way it's more of a state thing. But it sure affects Ulster County, and it's something Ulster County can speak on. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be open to that discussion, but I would also want to expand it to kind
other
of the new, better, bigger bottle bill. You know, I remember when it expanded to water, but as I understand it right now, it's just the small waters and anything that's sparkling, with some exception. I don't know why sparkling ciders, you know, like Angry Orchard.
Yeah.
There's no deposit on Angry
All
Orchard.
All those things
bottles,
that are the same. The
but
same
Gatorade
shape.
Is not.
Well,
Gatorade
some
is
of the
not.
Some of it comes in milk carton. Some of it comes into any place that sells it. Kind of has to take it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're certain things that are become almost logistically impossible to require everything. But all those things that are the same shape,
which there are
an iced
like
tea
iced
can
teas, yeah.
That we need to take care of right now. That could be included
mm-hmm.
in this as something else besides raising the deposit, but including.
Yeah, so
you
wanna have
mm-hmm.
that. And there's other states, you can see on some of those other states
mm-hmm.
accepted. So I think the place to start is to look to those states that are the most progressive. I want to say it's like California, Hawaii, and there's somewhere in the Northeast.
And who
Vermont,
does the
Maine,
ten,
Michigan,
got,
Michigan
like a
did
10
cents,
cents
forever. What, who's Maine, Michigan, somebody?
Michigan's 10 cents. That was a Seinfeld episode.
Oh, my God. Remember that? The JFK clubs. Yeah.
Remember the bottles of Michigan and double their money.
Newman and Kramer.
So
is there anything else?
Did anyone else have any other, has anyone else thought about any environmental memorializing resolutions? Is anyone else?
Well, I mean, I have.
I have.
Too. I have. And I have. I mean, basically,
Brian,
it's the,
we
yeah,
relied
basically
on
it's
your your district for a lot of memorializing resolutions for a couple of years.
But there's a tremendous amount now with a new, you know, seated legislature at the state level in terms of things that have been stagnating. Even things like the plastic bag bill. I mean, we saying we passed this in Ulster County, but asking the state, why don't you pass it at the state level? You know what I mean?
That's
a really a good place to start.
You know, so
yeah.
Right
by
there.
The way, we've had half a dozen counties call us for the seeker.
So that would be a good place
for
to
that.
Start.
We sent it to Dutchess just the other day. Counties are asking us about that seeker
Isn't
thing
it great
that you did.
Being
just
early?
Want you to know
Thank you.
That that's getting distributed around.
Yeah.
And I just want, I feel like I should tell you, this straw came with a cup. It's rubber. I've been using it since I got the cup. For 6 months, I've been using the same straw.
I'm tempted to run down there and rip it out.
Yeah, it's rubber.
No,
it's
I can tell that, sir.
So do I have a motion to adjourn?
So, good.
Second?
Second.
Thank you, everyone. Have a blessed and safe Christmas and New Year's.
Yes. Oh, well, we'll be here to eat.